You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, August 31st, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps and steps and steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal, the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, we are back. Slightly extended vacation. Trump attacks the mayor of Portland in the wake of the shooting death of a right-wing provocateur. Protester, maybe. Meanwhile, he's heading to Kenosha tomorrow, despite Wisconsin governor's request that he not. Big Oil looks to inundate Africa with plastics in anticipation of their business collapsing. Meanwhile, another million people have lost their jobs as of last week. COVID surging in the Midwest now. And Treasury gave up the ghost, or the game, I should say. The payroll deferral is a cruel scam. Billions are getting their political information from Facebook, and it's dominated by the right wing. Rod Rosenstein secretly quashed a counterintelligence investigation into Trump's business ties to Russia. New York public housing advocates were duped into appearing at the RNC. And it is primary day in Massachusetts tomorrow. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for your patience. We had just a series of really almost impossible internet foibles. Matt is watching the show, I think on his phone, because he doesn't have internet now. I had lost my internet, got it fixed, But we are back from vacation, albeit an hour or two late, and feeling rested and relaxed as much as I can. Of course, all that went out the window at 11:45 when my internet kicked out. But we shall endeavor to persevere. We obviously missed the RNC and the last night of the DNC. I'm going to talk a little bit, just in very broad strokes, about the RNC, about the DNC, about the difficulty I think that Joe Biden is going to have, at least going forward a little bit. I still am remaining positive and hopeful, but folks need to be very clear that this is not in the bag by any stretch of the imagination. And we will talk more about that as we go forward. Obviously, a lot of violence taking place over the past week. Three people shot, two people fatally in Kenosha by a radicalized right-wing 17-year-old boy who was brought to the, I guess, was traveling with his mom. Also, apparently got some water from the cops before he went about shooting, or at least some concern and some appreciation for the work he was doing. Meanwhile, in Portland, it's unclear, according to police at this point, whether the shooting was political or not, but a patriot prayer-er was shot and killed in Portland. Donald Trump getting into fights with the mayor, Wheeler. And we will get to all of that momentarily. Let's start, though, with Mark Meadows, the president's chief of staff. He is on Meet the Press, and he wants you to know, and this is, look, this was the message at the RNC. And I'll break it down a little bit more as to who the message is geared towards. But you'll recall, I mean, you need to put all of this into context, and I'm going to repeat myself a couple of times here about this. But the strategy in 2016, as articulated, I think it was either Chuck Schumer or Ed Rendell. Nevertheless, for every one blue-collar worker we are going to lose in Pittsburgh, we're going to make up with two or three suburban people in the suburbs outside of Philadelphia. And we're going to replay this in Ohio and Wisconsin and Michigan. That's what they said. That was what their theory was. Joe Biden is attempting to basically make this exclusively a referendum on Donald Trump. And the Republicans are concerned about losing these suburban women voters. The entire RNC was dedicated not to convincing the broad American public that Donald Trump cares about black people or cares about immigrants. There was basically two very specific targets. One was Republican women in the suburbs. They need permission to vote for Donald Trump again. And the RNC served or attempted to do that. The other is African Americans and Latinos. And Trump is polling better with them than he did the first time around. It's not huge. It doesn't need much. Meanwhile, here is Mark Meadows attempting to, again, speak to those Republican women. That is what they're doing. They're shoring those up. They know they cannot win more votes in this election, but they can in certain states win more votes and perhaps win with the Electoral College. Here's Mark Meadows.
I wanted to start with this. The president on Thursday night painted a picture of what he said would be Joe Biden's America. And I look at the violence this week, Mr. Meadows, this is in Donald Trump's America. How much responsibility should voters be giving the president for his inability to keep the streets safe?
Well, I mean, you can try to reframe it that way, Chuck, but that's just not accurate. I can tell you that when we look at Kenosha and the phone calls that were made to the governor of Wisconsin, we offered help. Help was denied. Obviously, there was multiple gunshots and people lost their life. We made a repeated call then the next day, sent in National Guard, FBI agents, U.S. Marshals to restore peace in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And that's what needs to happen in Portland. You know, it's interesting to see you frame Portland that way after 94 days. Perhaps now we're going to act because someone was shot last night. But to suggest that somehow it's been peaceful in Portland, Chuck, is just not looking at the facts. We've had over 200 anarchists, and they're not peaceful protesters. These are people that every single night conduct violent acts, and it is in Democrat cities. You know, you want to talk about Donald Trump's America. Most of Donald Trump's America is peaceful. It is a Democrat-led city in Portland that we're talking about this morning, who just yesterday denied help once again from the federal government. And so, listen, we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to make sure that we hold people accountable. Right. And ultimately, we need to make sure that these people that are conducting these acts go to jail. We've had over 97 federal law enforcement arrests that were conducted.
All right, we don't need to hear any more about this, because this frame is, first off, it is a frame that just plays right into the Trump administration. This idea that it's really about who is deploying what type of police onto the streets to deal with this. the real question isn't what is the federal government doing to deal with the violence or the polarization. It's that Donald Trump, I mean, this is the line they used with Barack Obama. Barack Obama was the most polarizing president in our history. Every day they would hit this. And this is the question that needs to be asked. Like, how do you not take responsibility for the polarization and the environment that's created? This is going to be a political problem for Joe Biden. That's just, I think, the reality of it. The question is he going to be able to deal with it? And I'm concerned about that, frankly. But the bottom line is this is Trump's America. And eventually there will be cities, I would imagine, that are going to see some violence that are not Democrat cities, as they call them, but are cities where maybe a Republican is the mayor or something. But of course, cities is where you have the highest concentration of poverty, generally, in terms of concentration, and where you have the largest problem with policing issues. And so it makes sense. That's where we're going to be seeing people protesting and a certain amount of violence. I hope the Biden campaign figures out how they're going to handle this, because so far it's a little bit concerning. And we should say again that there's no evidence at this point that the Trump administration is making a lot of hay out of this. But they will. There's time. Got a couple of sponsors today. As you know, I've told you in the past, hiring can be very challenging, particularly for a small business, although I imagine for a big business too, but I have no idea. But certainly for a small business. I've got about 50 different things to think about at any given point. I don't really know how to go about finding people for any job. Last time we needed to hire somebody, we used ZipRecruiter. They had been advertising with us. I figured I'd give it a try. Monica Starks, also same problem. She is a real ZipRecruiter company. She needed to hire for a pivotal role at her construction company called GS Group. She, like me, was having a tough time finding the right person. There's a ton of candidates out there. You don't know how you're going to reach them, though. She switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend solely on candidates for your job finding you. They find them. That's what happened with Brendan. That's how we hired him. It's how Monica found Lamont Jenkins. She said that ZipRecruiter sent Lamont's profile to her around 5 minutes after she posted her job because he was a great match for the role. Through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. Majority Report, we just really basically have one job, producers. But that's where I found Brendan. Monica is not the only employer who loves ZipRecruiter, because I also do. And what have I told you? The best time to find someone for your job is when you don't need to hire somebody. Go out there, see who's out there, create a list. They help you organize the whole thing. Be ready for that moment, because you don't always get your 2 weeks notice from people, and you never know what comes up. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter, they get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself how ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try it now for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. MAJORITY. ZipRecruiter.com/majority. Also, as you know, at least if you have a kid, for me, other people, it's, you know, want to deal with their friends and family. For me, I am constantly looking for ways to engage with my children. It's very difficult. 7-year-old only cares about Legos. 15-year-old only cares about not dealing with me. Hunt a Killer. It's a new way to do game night. Gives everybody the opportunity to have fun, work together, investigate crime without even having to leave the house. So what Hunt a Killer is, it basically changed the way that you interact with murder mysteries. You're not just a passive viewer. Mila loved Law and Order, and so that's what made me think this is the thing to do, this Hunt a Killer. And we love it. It's a murder mystery subscription box. It has over 2,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. With each delivery, what they send you is audio or documents or all sorts of different types of evidence. They give you a case file, and each box basically eliminate possible suspect. They even have like a spoiler-free online community, has something like 100,000 members, so you can share theories, help each other out. This is great if you're trying to interact with your child without a screen. Like I say, you can go onto that spoiler forum, but it's fun. It's challenging. It's helpful if you're obsessive like I am at times. It's exciting to get the latest dump of documents and evidence. You're going to love it. Right now for our listeners, you can go to hunttokiller.com/majority. Use the promo code majority at checkout for 20% off your first box. That's hunttokiller.com/majority for 20% off and show your support for our show. That's hunttokiller.com/majority. And lastly, most people say they want to use natural products, but something like 2% of everybody who do say that end up using it, because it's difficult to figure out what are the best natural products to buy. Well, where do you start if you want to use natural cleaning products? Grove Collaborative. It's the online marketplace that delivers healthy home, beauty, and personal care products, and they deliver it directly to you. Grove Collaborative takes the guesswork of going green. Every Grove.co, it's Grove.co, product is guaranteed to be good for you, your family, your home, and the planet. I've leaned on Grove heavily through this coronavirus thing. First off, because I'm trying to get off those sort of like other big services, but you can get your no-scented soaps. Yeah, Mrs. Myers, 7th generation. The 7th generation is basically my go-to. I get the no-scent dishwashing soap. I get the no-scent hand soap. No-scent hand soap. They got all sorts of great products there. Cool sponges. They have concentrated cleaners that you keep in a little like a dry box and put it into your own like spray bottle. Good stuff. And the guide is very helpful to get a sense of like what stuff you need, what's going to be effective, and what's going to be safe. With Grove, you don't have to shop multiple stores. You don't have to search endlessly online to get all the natural goods you need for you and your family. Join over 2 million households who have trusted Grove Collaborative. It's grove.co to make their homes happier and healthier. Plus, shipping is fast and free on your first order. For a limited time, when listeners go to grove.co/majority, you'll get a free cleaning gift set plus free shipping with your first order. Check it out, grove.co/majority to get this exclusive offer. grove.co/majority. Check it out now. All right, let's get back into this. I alluded to a little bit of what I wanted to talk about up front, and that is the RNC was geared towards convincing Republican, primarily women in the suburbs, that Donald Trump is not the creep that you think he is. So we're going to pardon an African-American guy and show that all this talk about Donald Trump being racist? No. We're going to have a naturalization ceremony during the RNC. Remember, I want to just make this clear. so much of what went on during this this convention was illegal under the Hatch Act. I know that's tiny stuff that people perceive it, but there is a genuine slippery slope here. When you're talking about using taxpayer resources for your own campaign. But meanwhile, you got a naturalization ceremony. They put on housing advocates. We didn't see any housing advocates, as far as I can tell, on the DNC. Now, it turns out that they duped 3 of 4 of those public housing advocates and tenants. They didn't know that the interview they were doing was for the RNC. In fact, 3 of them said, like, I don't like Donald Trump. I'm actively campaigning against him. This was on Tuesday of last week. The convention showed a video of 5 new American citizens, and then 4 tenants of the public housing were, I think they were on Wednesday night. And the Times reached out to them, and they had no idea that they were being recorded for the RNC. But nevertheless, the fact that you and I know that Donald Trump and the Republicans are a little scummy in that regard, that's not the issue. The issue is that Republican voters in the suburbs were looking there for a reason to not believe the narrative that they have come to believe. It is easier for them, all things being equal, to vote for the Republican because they're Republicans. And when Donald Trump is up there, they apparently had a multiple of like 3 black and Latino speakers in their convention than they actually have in their administration. But again, the game is to make Donald Trump seem, to give license essentially to suburban Republican voters to vote for Donald Trump. Now, this is a problem because the entire DNC was geared on trying to convince those people to vote for Joe Biden. And that strategy is all well and good if Donald Trump is incapable of doing what he did do. And I don't mean him. I mean his operatives at the RNC. And their plan, I don't know if it's a winning strategy ultimately, but they realize, by they I mean the Trump campaign, they're not going to get as many votes as Joe Biden. It's just not going to happen. But they're looking to a couple of specific states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida. And they're trying to win by making sure that all of those Republicans in the suburbs vote Republican. And they're hoping that Joe Biden will not be able to mobilize enough voters in the cities to overcome that. I mean, that's the story of Pennsylvania. That's the story of Wisconsin. And that's the story of Michigan in 2016. The margins were just not high enough in the cities, in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia, in Detroit, to overcome what Donald Trump was doing in the suburbs and in the rural areas. And the problem that Joe Biden has is that he's not doing anything to mobilize these voters. Their strategy so far has been to hang back. Let this be a referendum on Donald Trump. Hope that, and when you let it be a referendum, what you're also saying is like, you know, we're not necessarily focusing on driving people to the polls who wouldn't otherwise vote. And when you focus on Republicans in the suburbs, you're trying to make this a persuasion election. Coronavirus certainly helped Joe Biden in terms of making the case that Donald Trump is a disaster for the country because of the way that he has handled this crisis. But to a certain extent, it's become normalized, and certainly in areas where Donald Trump got most of his votes last time. They don't seem to have a problem with 170,000. Maybe they won't have a problem with 180,000, 190,000, 200,000 deaths, 250,000. And the problem now that you're seeing with stuff that's going on in Portland, Kenosha, and Donald Trump is heading to Kenosha tomorrow. My guess is he's going to get out there. He's going to read the police docket. He's going to head to Kenosha. He's going to read the police docket, or what is it? The arrest warrant, I should say, for Jacob Blake. And it's not pretty. And he's going to get out there and he's going to read this publicly. And he's going to put Joe Biden on the spot as to, like, you know, who are you with here? And what Joe Biden would normally do, or what a candidate in this situation would do, is attempt to pivot to grounds where he is stronger, or she is stronger, depending on the candidate, obviously. But the problem is that Joe Biden has no agenda. It's possible you could go dig up on his website. But can anybody tell me what Joe Biden, I mean, certainly, I mean, you look at the DNC, they didn't push any type of policies. They pushed the fact that Joe Biden is a good guy. Well, you can't pivot off of a topic you don't want to deal with. Because look, Joe Biden's got a job. Activists have a job. People in the streets have a different job than Joe Biden at this point. And for Joe Biden to do his job, which is beat Donald Trump, he's got to be able to pivot off of the question of violence in the streets. He's got to be able to pivot off of the protests to another topic where Donald Trump, at the very least, doesn't feel like he has some type of traction. But what would that be for Joe Biden? I'm a good guy. This is where you would come out and you would release maybe an economic plan. But they are so afraid of putting anything out there that has any real, I think I just lost my phone connection. They are so afraid of putting anything out there that would in any way cause people to be able to make Joe Biden's proposal something that you judge, right? The whole thing is they want this to be a referendum on Donald Trump. And so Joe Biden's entire strategy has been, I'm going to basically be nothing but a nice guy. I'm not going to be the guy who's pushing this policy or that policy. He has policies, obviously, but he's not pushing them. He's not running on that. He's not fully developed these things. And that's been their strategy. The problem is that that doesn't work if there are other extraneous events that take place. Because some of those events may start to encroach in your, like, sort of neutral zone. And so Joe Biden has to make a decision. Is he going to alienate people who are upset at the way that Black people are policed and the issues they have to deal with in this country in terms of systemic racism, et cetera, is he going to alienate those protesters? Or is he going to allow Donald Trump to frame him as the guy who is going to bring about, you know, a revolution in the streets? Joe Biden doesn't want to do either one of those things. And Joe Biden never contemplated having to do either one of those things because they contemplated this is just going to be a referendum on Donald Trump. And so what you would want to do if you're Joe Biden is to pivot off to another topic. But there is none. They have not laid the groundwork for these. Now, maybe he can start talking about the economy. But there's no, they have not built any type of foundation here. So this is just like, Joe Biden could have 2 days ago said, I'm going to Kenosha and I'm going to try and calm things down because Donald Trump won't. But Donald Trump beat him to the punch. I think what we said when we went on break, I said, I don't think we're going to hear anything from Joe Biden until after Labor Day. And they tried to do that. But events around them have overtaken them. And look, I still firmly believe that Martin O'Malley could have won in 2016. That's my way of saying that I think that Clinton had unique liabilities as a candidate. Liabilities of her own making and liabilities of not her own making. Liabilities that included being a woman. Liabilities that included, you know, having 30 years of cottage industries built around her. Liabilities including Comey's letter. Liabilities including a campaign that was bad. I don't know what else you could call that. They didn't campaign in states that they thought they just had wrong information. They didn't generate enough enthusiasm, so they leaned largely on modeling. Maybe they decided supposedly to do that. Anyways, that modeling was a disaster. And Donald Trump barely won under that circumstance. Barely won. So theoretically, Joe Biden, because he doesn't have the baggage that Hillary Clinton had, because he has the advantage of hindsight, will not take any states supposedly for granted, and because he's a white man, supposedly shouldn't have these liabilities. But the difference is that Donald Trump, for whatever reason, has picked up support from Black people and Latino people from last time. He also has the power of the federal government. So when it comes to like disenfranchising people, when it comes to creating these, the turmoil in these streets, he has the ability to do that. He has the ability to send in unmarked police, federales into Kenosha, pulling people inside unmarked vans. He has the ability to do that in Portland. Those are just provocations. That's all that they're there for. So that's where we're at. We're seeing a tightening, not a huge tightening, in the polls in some of the key swing states. We are seeing Donald Trump get a little bit of a bump from his convention. Biden did not. I don't know how relevant that is. Joyce from PA on the IM. Let me get this thing all the way up here. We'll take a couple of these and then, maybe we'll play one or two more clips and head into the fun half. I'm sorry, but we got a late start today, folks. Tomorrow on the program, we have Rick Perlstein. Is that right?
That is correct.
Got a good week.
Reagan.
Joyce from PA, you always preference any news regarding Russian election interference with a statement that some people overstated Russian influence on 2016. Who overplayed Russian influence and what did they say that was incorrect? I do not believe that there is anything definitive that the Russian influence involvement in our election was decisive. And I mean, certainly, I mean, I don't follow too much media, but certainly, you know, MSNBC hyped it that Russian interference in a way that I think was like, you know, it's just simply not demonstrable what kind of impact they had. There's no doubt that they interfered in the election, but I can't sit here and say that that involvement was why she lost, as opposed to not going to Michigan and Wisconsin, or as opposed to not sending out canvassers, as opposed to modeling, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that's where what I'm talking about there. Here's Joe Biden with a new ad showing empty stadiums. And again, this is Joe Biden attempting to basically lay low. See if there's anything even remotely controversial you can find in this ad.
Weather by opening day standard, we're going to be in the 60s. Enjoy the game. And now, to honor America, please join in the singing of the national anthem.
What? Let's get back in the game? That's the only thing. For those who are just listening, the only thing we saw was images of empty stadiums, empty beaches, empty schools, and a chyron that says, Trump put America on the sidelines. Let's get back into the game. Well, I don't understand what the message is. Are we supposed to go back into school and go back into the sports stadiums? Or is it a more complicated metaphor here that I'm missing out? I mean, the only thing that's controversial about that ad, I mean, in other words, the only, like, is like, boy, coronavirus sucks. And who is that ad for? It's for people who apparently, I mean, look, coronavirus is real. The problem is that Donald Trump's response has been horrible. And you want to get back into the game safely. That's the point. And the point is Donald Trump has not made it safe. Yet, in much of the places that Donald Trump is running this campaign, they're out there doing this and they don't care. That's an ad that is geared towards Republicans. And that's all well and good if they are... if that's just extra cash they got lying around because they've mobilized everybody else. But I have some real questions about that. I'm concerned. I want Joe Biden to win because I want Donald Trump to lose. I want him not to be president anymore.
I might be reading into it too much, but do you think they're also sort of sending that message of like, we'll be global leaders again on the global game, the global stage? I know it's all very pastoral imagery, but
I mean,
that image
maybe,
was big in the DNC. I don't know.
Maybe. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's consistent with like, we won't be a laughing stock anymore. But is the fact that we're a laughingstock, you know, a very subtle in, you know, play that like we'll be a world leader again. Is that enough to change people's minds? Like, that's the problem, is that they're fishing in waters where there are no fish. And you can afford to do that if you're convinced that this election's not about you. Like, you don't have to mobilize. Your people are already coming out there. But I'm not so convinced. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But they have done everything they could to keep Joe Biden from being, from allowing Donald Trump to attack Joe Biden. And that was working, right? I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were saying they can't find anything to stick, to get anything to stick onto Joe Biden. But then there are things that crop up in the in real life where Joe Biden has to essentially establish a position, and he has to define that position. He's allowing Donald Trump to define that position for him. He's got to establish a position that will not alienate the people who are sympathetic with what's going on with the streets, but at the same time, won't screw up his strategy, which is to convince Donald Trump voters to vote for him. And that's the problem, is that you were banking on nothing like that coming up. And that's the danger of this. And, you know, look, the Republicans, it may not be fair. It may not be fair to say Joe Biden is responsible for what's going on the streets in these Democrat cities. It's not, I mean, obviously, it doesn't make any sense at all. Joe Biden's, you know, in his basement. He's not in charge of any of this. But the bottom line is, it's sticking to him, and he has no way to pivot off. All right, let's take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. We'll take some phone calls. Sorry, today's all jumbled up. Like I said, we had some internet problems. And Matt had some internet problems, but we're all back now. Want to remind you, we got one of our coolest sponsors sponsoring the show today, Hunt-A-Killer. It's a murder mystery subscription box. It's one of the most unique games out there and brings the fun of an escape room, which you could not go to under any circumstances right now, as far as I'm concerned, to your home, which you can go to. Go to huntakiller.com/majority. Use promo code majority at checkout for 20% off your first box. That's huntakiller.com/majority. Promo code majority. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Oh, wait, should do some plugs. Folks, your support always welcome and needed on the show. Join themajorityreport.com. Check out the AM Quickie. A lot of people listen to it over the break. People are really loving it. Gives you all the headlines in a quick 6-7 minute every morning. And it's in your podcast feed very early these days. I don't know, 8 a.m. by 8 a.m. Also, check out Nomi Key's show. She did a great job with the RNC and the DNC last week, or the RNC last week, the DNC the week before. You can find her show on youtube.com/the Nomi Key show or on patreon.com/the Nomi Key show. And she'll be with us tomorrow as always. Jamie, how was your break?
Hey, my break was awesome. Thanks for asking. I went to Block Island for a couple days with some of my friends, and nice. We realized some of us hadn't seen each other in about 6 months since my birthday dinner, which I'm now kind of thinking of as the Last Supper because my birthday is March 9th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. And you guys were all wearing masks or what?
Oh, we all got our rapid COVID tests right before we went. Nice. So we had a clean bill of health. We even had the little documents that we could carry around on us in case the Rhode Island police decided to hassle us. But they don't really seem to care that much in Rhode Island.
Nope. No.
In fact, Rhode Island's having a problem now. I think like Rhode Island is one of the things, like you can go to Massachusetts from New York, but any other state, I think besides Connecticut or Maine or New Hampshire, you got to get you got to do a quarantine. I got a test this morning, not the rapid test, the one where they stick it all the way up the nose.
Oh, it's not so bad.
Did you get the one all the way up your nose?
Yeah. I was expecting it to be worse.
Well, maybe you got the low key one. Did they hold it there for 10 seconds?
I don't know.
I don't think you got
that. Maybe a little less than that. Yeah, but there's some places that do the rapid one in New York City now. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I got one of those. And I got to say, the mental well-being of having a test and knowing that you're negative is really undervalued, I would say.
I got to do it, you know, because we get Saul going back to school and Mile is not going to go back to school. Well, I guess my Saul's also not going back to school. That's a mess. Matt, what's up? Oh, go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead. What's up?
I was just going to say maybe this is for the fun half, but I had a dream about you guys last night.
Uh-oh. Wait a second.
Hey, what happened?
No, that wasn't the one.
That works.
Yeah, I guess that also. All right, well, the folks better tune in. This could get a little disturbing. What else? What's happening on the Antifada, Jamie?
I'm so glad you asked. This week on the Antifada, or I should say last week, because we put it out over the break. I guess it wasn't really a break for the Antifada, but it was a break for me from work, which is why I recorded it before I left. We have a two-parter on the Black radical tradition and Black Marxism. And I think it's a really important topic, especially now when the right and the center are really trying to separate out radicalism and Marxism from the Black community, showing that this is actually a long tradition and that Black liberation and anti-capitalism go hand in hand. And in fact, I think Black liberation is the key to unwinding a lot of the bad stuff about capitalism, at least in this country. So we had on an activist and educator, great guy, Kazembe Balogun, and we went through a whole bunch of Black radical thinkers from W.E.B. Du Bois to the Black Panther Party and Harry Haywood, C.L.R. James, and more. And then in the second part, we went over some Black Marxist feminists, including Claudia Jones and Angela Davis. We talked about Black feminism and prison abolition, which Angela Davis has done a lot of good work on. So that's out now. Patreon.com/TheAntifada.
Matt.
Tomorrow night on TMBS, David, Leisha, and I will be talking to Malaika Jabali. She's been in Kenosha. She was there during the shooting of Rittenhouse shooting. And we'll be talking to her about, you know, what she saw there and how we untangle this mess.
There you go. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in the fun half. 646-257-3920.
You are in for it.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Anarchy.
Alpha males are back. Back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back. Back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. 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 Boy is back. And the alpha males are back. 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 Back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back. Back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back. Back.
Almost as what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ the Anarchy song, please?
Yes!
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Denner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, fuck! Fuck you, reminder!
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are...
Psych! Fuck them! Fuck them!
Almost says what?
What?
Almost says what?
A hell of a lot of bang. 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 A hell of a lot of bang.
All lives matter. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black African. And the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black.
See Donald Trump out there? Doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100. Can't knock the hustle. Come on! Fuck them! Fuck them! Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday!
My birthday!
Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black.
Come on!
What?
Come on!
What?
Come on! Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy, 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 pussy.